faithful to us all these years. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. This is Palm Sunday. I know this sermon is good because I already gave it to Sister Watson and she said it was. And she would know. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help me today and help your people, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. I heard that this story is true of an elderly woman that was driving home late one night, and the weather was rather nasty and stormy, difficult to see. The rain was coming down hard, but she saw in front of her the taillights of another car, and so she decided that she would get close enough that it would help her and make it easier for her, because she wasn't familiar with the area and the storm made it that much more difficult. So she's following this one. And then as she's following him, finally she noticed the car in front of her came to a stop. It slowed down and then it stopped. And she began to wonder, what is happening? She wondered if the car in front of her hit a deer, or if there was a road construction in front of them, stopping them. And she was surprised when the car in front of her then turned off its lights. And now she's getting a little bit frustrated. Why would this car in front of her stop right in the middle of the road, turn off their lights? That's dangerous. And then she looked up to her left, and there was a man standing in the pouring rain. And he signaled he wanted her to roll down her window. So she rolled it down a little bit. And he asked her, What are you doing? And she said, Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What are you doing? What's the problem? And he said, Well, ma'am, I just pulled into my driveway and stopped. And I want to know why you're behind me. And she realized that she had chosen the wrong leader to follow. And he didn't take her where she wanted to go. And she was on the wrong road. And that is so true and a great illustration that many times in life we face storms and trials, and sometimes it's just hard to see and we don't know which way to go. And in times like these, as the songwriter said and so wonderfully sang, we need a Savior. And we need a leader that can guide us. And it's important to make sure that this leader is on the right road. And that this leader is taking us to the right place. But it's so nice that this Palm Sunday, we can say as believers, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is Palm Sunday, and this is the day that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And it marked the beginning of the last week of his life. This would be the last week that Jesus would spend here on earth among his disciples. And he had been traveling on a road for over 3.5 years. But now it says, let's look at the text again, Matthew 21. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. So the disciples did as they were commanded and brought the donkey and colt to Jesus. And the people, we read, cut down branches and laid clothes down on the path and then also on the donkey. And the multitudes that went before began to cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest, or in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I believe this perhaps is one of the most important weeks in the world's history. And while this Jerusalem road led Jesus eventually to the cross, and if we'll follow him to the cross, it will lead us to heaven. But I want to take a little closer look at this road this morning, because we're on it also if we're following Jesus. What kind of a road is it? And I want us to notice that the first thing about this road is that it is a road of humility. If you'll notice verse 1, it says, from verses 1 to 3, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt and with her, and loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone shall ask you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately they will send them and let them go. Normally, we like to see our heroes enter with a bit more of a blaze and glory than that. That's the culture in which we live. If you're a sports fan, you like to see when they announce the players coming onto the court when it's the finals, they make a big, and here's so-and-so, and that basketball player goes down through the line, he high-fives people, and they give it a lot more of a splash to it. If it isn't basketball, when we just a few months ago inaugurated or put into office our new president, it showed him driving down in the city with quite an entourage and him getting out and him waving at the people. How many remember that late night program? Here's Johnny! And there was Johnny Carson, who His introduction was a lot more than what Jesus was getting. But when it comes to the King of Kings, you would think that the entry would be with a lot more pomp and a lot more flash than what we're seeing. Not much has changed. When Jesus first came into this world, he was born in a stable, same thing. After all, this is one that many thought would free them from the bondage of Rome. Who is this? It had been rumored that he'll free us from Rome. After all, we've been hearing about him setting up a kingdom, much one like David had, with all of its glory. But here comes the King of Kings, but rather he chooses to enter on a road of humility. He doesn't come riding into town in a white stallion. He doesn't even get a chariot like Elijah had when he left in a whirlwind of fire. But God in his wisdom had Jesus entering into Jerusalem on the back of the colt of a donkey. It was a borrowed donkey. And it didn't even have a saddle with diamonds on it. This wasn't new. As I mentioned, this reflected the life of our Savior. He came into the world born in a stable with animals around and who knows what else. Jesus didn't come into the world with wealth or a silver spoon in his mouth. In fact, I often am reminded of the scripture, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Often what the world thinks is really something, God don't think that much of it. And so Jesus came into this world in poverty and he didn't have grandeur but meekness. He didn't have a lot of fame and fortune, but he did have humility. When Jesus spoke of his kingdom, he spoke in terms of being one of service. Who ever heard of a king being a servant? And servanthood and humility. One of the songs that you sang and had us sing, Becky, and thank you, was about the road we're on. You contrast that with what Jesus overheard the disciples talking about. Because Jesus is telling them about how he's going to die. And he tells them how he's getting ready to go and be crucified, speaking of his death. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 24, where it also brings out the circumstances at this time, right after he tells them that I'm going to be crucified, and it says that, now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. He's talking about dying and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest amongst them. After 3 years of sitting under his ministry, they still didn't get it. They simply did not understand that the road that Jesus had chosen to travel on was a road of humility. It wasn't a road that you get to be a big shot, but it is a road that he required for himself and he required it for his disciples to travel on as well. And I sometimes think that if we're not careful, modern Christianity loses sight of that. We love his blessings and he loves to bless us. There's no question about that. It is a life of blessing, but it's a life of service. It's a life, if we're going to follow Jesus, of humility. To follow Jesus means that you're going to go down that same road, and as it led him to the cross, we each have our cross to bear, and it means giving up selfish desires. It means denying ourselves. It means putting not only God first in our lives, but it means putting others first as well. It means putting our family first, our friends first, and yes, even our enemies. And this road of humility is the road that says, I will live like Christ because that's how Christ lived, and I will follow Him and I will strive to be conformed to His image. The Jerusalem road is a road of humility, and that is the road that we've been called to follow upon. But there's another thing about this road that I've noticed in Scripture. The second thing about this road is it's a road of fulfillment. Please notice in our text, in verses 4, it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, maybe it wasn't verse 4, it might have been 44, I am confused, but don't lose me now. The text says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of an ass, or the foal of a donkey. All this was done that it might be fulfilled. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. And it therefore is a road of fulfillment. Have you ever noticed how many times the Bible says, and this was written that it might be fulfilled? That it might be fulfilled? When you follow Him on this road that He is fulfilling Scripture, it is a road of fulfillment, but it's also a road of fulfillment for you. If a donkey can fulfill Scripture, you can fulfill Scripture also, because you are fulfilling Scripture when you are doing God's will. And in proportion of you doing God's will be the proportion of the fulfillment that you will sense in your heart and life. And that tells us something we hear so often, but it is so true. God has a will for your life. Not all are called to preach or teach or to lead worship or play the piano or to work in a particular place in the church. But everyone is called. And everyone is called to serve. And not all serving is directed to the church, but your church and your ministry is the world. And whatever God and thy hand is found to do, do it with all thy heart. Every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has something that God is having us do that we might find fulfillment, and that is His will. The fact that Jesus was entering Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey is not just a chance. That just wasn't luck. The fact that the colt was right where Jesus said it would be wasn't a lucky guess, but it was part of fulfilling a divine plan of Almighty God. Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy that is found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. When's the last time you shouted on that road? You can shout now if you want. You won't scare me. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. And he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is just one of the many prophecies that Jesus was fulfilling found in the Old Testament. In fact, there are, give or take, 322 prophecies in the Old Testament which are fulfilled. Someone said the mathematical odds of all of those prophecies being fulfilled by one man is so unreal. The odds are 84 to the 123rd power. That is 84 with 123 zeros after it. That are the chances of Jesus fulfilling all of those prophecies. But it showed that Jesus was the Messiah. And we too must be willing to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, don't you? And I want to fulfill God's plan for my life. And nothing brings fulfillment to me than to me seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We too must be willing to follow and to seek His will. I was at a rest home yesterday to see Brother Giles, but I stopped off in a room and met a man by the name of Ralph. Never met him before in my life. Ralph is 95 years of age. His mind was sharp. And as I began to talk to Ralph, "Ralph, are you going to heaven?" "Well, I hope so." "Well, Ralph, what makes you think you're going to heaven?" "Well, I'm doing good." And I didn't want to insult him or put him in a corner. And I said, "Well, Ralph, you know it takes being saved." He said, "Oh, everybody knows that." "Well, I'm glad you know that, Ralph. Ralph, do you love Jesus?" He said, "I love Jesus." He said, "I'm just trying to do my best." I said, "God bless you, Ralph." Ralph was finding fulfillment in a rest home at the age of 95 years old, doing his best, loving Jesus. There's a fulfillment on this road. And the joy to do His will. Jesus said, "My meat is to do His will." In other words, I find nourishment when I do His will. To do His will is meat. And just as you like having a good dinner with meat in it and you find nourishment from it, doing His will brings you that spiritual nourishment. And so this is a road that is a road of humility and of service, but it's a road that you will find fulfillment on it. I'm 66 years of age. Thank God I get a year back. For a few weeks I was thinking I was 67. And then I got confused and I said, "Honey, how old am I?" She said, "You're 66. Oh, glory to God, I get a whole year back. I want to do His will. I believe, and I say this to ask for your prayers, I believe one day I'll be on the radio, and I'm asking you to pray with me that God will help bring that about. And till then, I want to do His will and seek His face." How many want to join me on this Palm Sunday to follow Him? He won't take you to a driveway. He'll take you to a mansion. He'll take you to a road that is a road of humility and a road of service and a road where you will find fulfillment. Let's stand. Are you doing God's will? Are you seeking His will? It may not be directed to the church. It can be. It may be at work. It may be at home. It's wherever you are. Heavenly Father, we thank You this Palm Sunday that we're following a shepherd that is leading us and guiding us. And some have been living for You many years and they're still finding fulfillment. They're still finding it gets sweeter as the days go by. Each of us has our own individual road, but all of us are following Jesus. I pray we are. I pray we be remembered that it's a road of service and meekness. Keep us humble on it. Keep us looking unto Jesus. Could I ask you all to come and let's just stand this morning together as we join our hearts. And may we join our hearts together and may we pray in one accord. Lord, I want to do your will. Whatever that would be. Because that's where fulfillment comes. That's where nourishment comes. Heavenly Father, we are here collected together, O God. And we seek your face. And I ask, O God, that each one here, each day we commit ourselves to you and to know your will and to put you first and to keep our hearts right. No one knows what a day may bring forth, but Lord, we're following a shepherd that leads us beside green water or green pastures and still waters. And though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For Lord, we know that you went to the cross and then you rose again. And we too shall also rise again. And we have a great hope. Bless your people. And may we walk humbly with our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord bless you. For 2 days to see if my wife would notice. She finally did. Okay. I reminded her.
But yeah, I noticed
you promised me. Yeah.